Hey there, Rick Singeri of Vermont Edition. Just want you to know this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening.
I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. Not long after his installation as president, Donald Trump created a commission to look into what he claims is widespread voter fraud in U.S. elections. He has not presented evidence, but Trump has said he believes millions of people are voting illegally, and he wants to fix the system. To that end, the commission has now asked the states to supply their voter lists to the federal government. The request includes voters' names, addresses, dates of birth, political parties, the last four digits of their Social Security numbers, what elections they have voted in going back a decade, if they're felons, whether they've been registered in other states, if they're in the military, and if they've lived abroad, or whatever portion of that information is publicly available. Nearly all of the states have said they will not provide some or any of that information to the federal government. Vermont is among those states. Secretary of State Jim Condos has said he won't comply with this request, at least until specific questions are answered about how that information is going to be used. Speaking yesterday on Vermont Edition, Attorney General T.J. Donovan says he fully supports the Secretary of State and believes Vermont has firm legal footing on which to make a stand. For one thing, voter information is not allowed to be used for commercial purposes, and Donovan wants assurances that Vermont voter data will be protected from commercial use. But he also points to a recent law as defense.
We're not going to disseminate any information, any personally identifiable information of Vermonters that can be used for a federal registry. I think what the commission is asking violates the spirit of that law in terms of some of the information that they're seeking. So what we're saying to Secretary Condos is exactly what he's already done. Before I turn over any piece of information, we're going to ask some questions of the commission to make sure that we're protecting Vermonters' privacy.
Today on the program, we're going to talk to Secretary Condos about his decision, and we'll also look a little bit deeper into how Vermont's election laws work. Secretary of State Jim Condos, I know we grabbed you right from the airport after a long flight delay, so I really appreciate you being here. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jane.
What would you add to why you are declining to comply with the commission's request?
Well, I think it's important to understand the background on how this came about. And of course, as you described, the president did announced to the world that 3 to 5 million people illegally voted, and they all voted for Hillary Clinton, not for him.
He said he would have won if there hadn't – he would have won the popular vote if there hadn't been widespread voter fraud.
So that was the premise under which this commission was set up. And the chair of the commission is Vice President Mike Pence. The vice chair – or co-chair, as some have called him, is Chris Kobach, the Kansas Secretary of State. The Kansas Secretary of State has been involved in – he's been rebuked by many of the federal courts out in the Midwest over some of the actions that he's taken to suppress voting. And it was something that raised concerns across the country. And I think that what happened basically when this letter came to us on roughly June 28th We immediately looked at the letter to say, really? What are they trying to go after here? And I immediately sent back a list of questions on the first day that we had received it. Then I sent back some follow-up questions on the second day. We have not to this point heard any response on any of those questions. And the Attorney General Donovan has said that we're not going to respond essentially until our questions are fully answered. And I think that's where we are now. I will protect Vermonters' personal identifiable information. I will not give Social Security numbers, driver's license numbers, or full dates of birth.
Initially, you had said you would comply with the request, at least as far as what information about Vermont voters is publicly available, that if it's publicly available, you would send it to the federal government. But now you're saying you won't send anything, at least until these questions are answered. So what prompted that change?
Well, I think we actually were able to delve into it more. And when I had initially issued the press release on June 30th, it was a Friday. And over the weekend, we started getting more details. We started to find out that it was unprotected servers and email addresses. We started to understand things a little bit better. We also were able to actually delve into the words that were presented in front of us. So on Monday, we actually met with Attorney General Donovan and raised additional questions. And that was when he raised with me Act 5 of 2017, this law about assisting federal governments in creating registries, which we were not aware of. So that kind of changed a little bit the tone that we had.
Again, we're talking today with Secretary of State Jim Condos, and we're looking right now at his decision not to comply with a federal government commission request for Vermont's voter data and information on Vermont voters in an attempt, the commission says, to come up with an answer to if there is widespread voter fraud in the United States. One listener going as Sprung 51 says, it really is not controversial to verify the legality of each registered voter. Anything less than what the commission has asked for is just another, quote, I hate President Trump attempt, which we need to get past. What do you think?
I would say definitely we need to get past it. And I think the National Association of Secretaries of State have gotten past it. If you look at the list of states that have pushed back and pushed back hard
On
this commission request, you've got red states, you've got blue states that are pushing back hard. Delbert Hoseman is the Secretary of State from Mississippi. He essentially said you can go jump in the Gulf, and Mississippi is a good place to start. So this
is not an anti-Trump position for
you? Not at all. Not at all. I think this is, for me, this is about protecting Vermonters' personal identifiable information. We were told, or we've been told, that they might move it to they've heard the comments about the security of the data, so they're saying now they might move it to the White House servers. That doesn't make us feel much better, since now they're asking, in fact, some of the experts have said, why would you put all of this data, this massive amount of data, in one location? Right now it's broken up in 50 states. So if anybody really wants to hack into it, they've got to go to 50 states. Why put it in one place?
Deborah posts, everything that's being asked for can expedite identity theft. With the cybersecurity hacks by Russia, it would be handing over the ballot box to Putin. Is that going too far?
I think it is.
Is her comment? Yeah.
No, I don't. I think this was raised by many people that if we were to comply and perhaps put this information in a bad spot, it could be handed right over to Russia. And I don't think anybody wants to do that.
Let's go to David calling in from Wilmington. Hi, David. Go right ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. What I have to say is, this is nothing more than the continuation of the obstructionism against the Trump administration. And as long as the liberals keep this nonsense up, we're not going to get anywhere. And if a Democrat gets elected, the Republicans are going to do the same thing.
So, David, it sounds like, 44 secretaries of state and the Washington, D.C. have said they won't comply with this request. What makes you think that this is an anti-Trump agenda that's driven by Democrats or the liberals, given that the vast majority of states have said no to this request?
Well, it's simply because that's all I see since he's been elected. They just refuse to do anything to cooperate with anything he's trying to do because they're afraid if they do allow it, it'll make him look good if he does something good for the country, and that'll make it more difficult for them to, the Democrats to get elected.
David, do you think there is widespread voter fraud?
Do I think there is? I honestly don't know. I think it's possible. I think that's, the history of this country. I know it's a very big part of the history of New York State.
David, I appreciate your call. Let me put this to Secretary of State Jim Condos. How do you convince people? You have said before, you've said publicly, you've said in the media, there is not, to your knowledge or to your expertise, any widespread voter fraud, certainly not in the state of Vermont. How do you prove that to us?
I think the proof is in the detail. And I think when you consider the fact that, for instance, in Vermont, in the November election, we had about 70% of the electorate that voted. We have a hard enough time getting people to vote once, never mind twice. We have...
you mean to vote fraudulently more than once?
Yeah, well...
I thought you maybe meant the primaries, too. That's hard enough to get people to vote in the primaries.
And the primaries is even worse. I mean, it's even much less. You know, I hear the comments, and I can assure voters that we are doing everything we possibly can to make sure our voter rolls are clean. There's been a story out there about one candidate who lost, who said when he went back and checked the list in his district, it was 25% wrong. The problem is he's talking about an old list from 2014, and today we have a new system in place. Shortly after that 2014 election, we started the installation of our new election management system. Our system is much cleaner. We have daily updates that we receive from DMV, so we can check addresses, we can check name changes, and later this summer we will be joining the nonpartisan system called ERIC, which has about 21 states, I think, at this time, and I think by the end of the summer we'll have about 23 states, so we can check our voter rolls. The way the system is, I'll be the first one to tell you there are dead people on our voter checklist, and there are people who have moved out of state or moved to another town on our checklist. It's incumbent upon the people to get back to us. We don't know it unless someone tells us. Now, we do have things for the Federal Death Index that will give us some of that information. But here in Vermont, we have people that go to Dartmouth, Boston, New York, Montreal, New York State, to go to a hospital, and sometimes they die there. And it might take months before that information gets back to us. And there's nothing wrong with that information being on our voter roll. That's not a fraud situation. The fraud would be if one of those people voted.
Right, or if I went and said, my name is Sally, and actually Sally's dead, and I'm voting twice then in an election because I know I'm using a dead right. person's name who's still on the list. Let me double back on this question of what the commission is asking for and why you're saying no. If information is already in the public sphere, if I or some other random Joe could request this information, and then, couldn't I say, hey, Jim Condos, can you give me all of the voter information because it's publicly available? And then couldn't I walk that over to Washington, D.C. and hand it to the commission? If that's the case, what's the value in saying no?
Well, I think, first of all, that's not the case. I think we do have – there's another provision of our law that people are either not aware of or don't talk about. Anybody that wants that publicly available file has to sign an affidavit that says it will not be used for commercial purposes. The Trump Commission put out that letter, and in that letter it said that all documentation that we send to them will be publicly available. That would go right around our law, and any business, commercial enterprise would have access to that information and would be able to pull it. Some states don't allow any information to be passed. And I know that there are several legislators who have already contacted us and said that they're looking to tighten up that law.
Let's go to Zach calling in from Rutland. Hi, Zach. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
My question for Jim is that by refusing to submit the information, does Vermont or any other state run a risk of backlash from the federal government in any way?
Well, if we do, they're going to be backlash against 44 or so states. I mean, this is a pretty widespread pushback from the states. I mean, there's 44 to 45. I even heard this morning as I was waiting at the airport that there might even be as many as 48 states that are pushing back. To date, there's only one state that has submitted any information. That was Arkansas. And I don't know what information they submitted, but I do know that we don't expect any kind of backlash.
Poor Jim Condo, so we got you right from a flight. I think you got some of that plane air. Sorry for the frog in your throat. We got a note from Beaver Lodge who says, I prefer that governments collect only the minimum information about citizens required to carry out their duties. Can Secretary Kondos explain to us the rationale behind collecting the non-public information about Vermont registered voters? Is there any that is not or no longer needed? After all, information that is not gathered is not at risk of unauthorized disclosure.
Well, actually, that's a great question, because I think it's important to understand, first of all, we're not going to provide driver's license, Social Security, or full dates of birth. The information that
Do you collect that information?
We do collect that information.
But it's not publicly available.
It's not public. That's not on the public side. The public side has only the year of the birth, not the date of the birth.
Actually, maybe this would be a good moment. Can you just tick off what you collect and then what is publicly available?
I can.
I'm making you toss through your papers now. You got it. Good work.
So the public available file, first name, last name, middle initial, address, legal address, mailing address, year of birth, the date that you registered, the date you last voted, and since 2008, we've kept information as to whether you voted or not in the elections, the general elections of 2008, 10, 12, 14, and 16. We do not know how people voted, so we don't put that down. Some of the other details that are here are things like police district. I'm not even sure of any state, anybody in Vermont that has a police district, but that's one of the things that's out there. Garbage districts, school districts. That information is available, but we don't really keep it. We do keep more information because we do have to have identifiers that allow us to check when someone moves, if Jane Lindholm moves from Burlington to South Burlington, that's fine. But we also have to be able to make sure we take the right Jane Lindholm off the roll.
Well, I did get a call when I moved. I moved from Shalott to Moncton, and I got a call from the Moncton town clerk who said, "You're registered in two places, and you can't be. Which one do you want to be registered in?"
That town clerk is doing her job. Our clerks are really hardworking. Our town clerks work every day. They're trying to keep these lists updated. This happens to be a busy year for them because everybody thinks when the election's over, it's over. Well, about 3 months go by, and then they start working on cleaning up their voter rolls, looking at who's voted, who hasn't. Because we can't just take people off the voter rolls because of federal law that says you have to not vote in two general election cycles. And if you don't vote in two general election cycles, the town, through their Board of Civil Authority, is then allowed to send you what's called a challenge letter, which will make a determination of whether you are there or not there, or whether you want to remain registered or not registered. This is the year that we do it. You're not supposed to do any kind of challenge to the voter roll within 90 days of an election. So there are a lot of requirements that are involved, and our town clerks work really, really hard to do this. And keep in mind that everything goes through the town clerk. So when we have someone that registers, it automatically gets sent to the dashboard of the town clerk. They get the final say, yes or no, whether someone gets added or deleted from their registry.
Steve says, "I moved to Vermont in 2011 and promptly registered to vote. I was surprised this past election to get calls on behalf of political candidates in Pennsylvania asking me to vote. Why wasn't there an automatic system to inform the Secretary of State in Pennsylvania to remove me from the voter list?"
There is no automatic system. That's part of the problem.
He says why. So you think there should be?
Well, I think when you fill out the Vermont form, whether it's online or on paper, at the very bottom it says, were you registered in another town? Where did you last vote? In other words, where were you last registered? And what our town clerks will do is send a copy of that to that particular town to let them know. We also get emails from across the country at times from other town clerks telling us to remove someone from our voter roll because they've now registered in their state or their town. And there's no automatic system. I think that's why you will find – I mean, even members of President Trump's own team were registered in more than one state. His son-in-law, Jared Kushner, was registered in New Jersey and New York. It's because people just don't pay attention. You know, you're quick to make changes to your driver's license generally, but not to your voter roll.
And there's no national database then, right?
There is no national database, and that's what this this system called ERIC is a nonpartisan group that is building slowly, and it's up to about 21 states that we're going to be joining, that we will be able to make. They have lots of security.
That's a concern that probably alarm bells went off.
Yeah, there's a tremendous amount of security that they have. That was probably the primary thing that they focused on. But I think, you know, there are other things that when you look at it with the voter registration system. One, we have a brand new system, and our system, based on new technology, is got a lot of the bells and whistles from a security standpoint. But we've also added to it, and we have connected with the Department of Homeland Security. They do hygiene scans of our system from time to time to let us know if they find a vulnerability. People need to understand we're constantly being scanned by bad actors. The question is, have we taken enough steps forward to stop them? And so far we have. We monitor our system on a daily basis. We take it very, very seriously. And I think most of my colleagues across the country are also in the same boat. We're all much more wide awake the last few years, last couple of years especially, about the issue of cybersecurity.
There have often been complaints that Vermont is behind the curve on technology, voting technology, and we're still mainly paper-based, although those ballots are often fed through an automatic reader. But is it sort of a silver lining that we're still fairly paper-based?
Not only is it a silver lining, it's a best practice to actually have a ballot at the end of the day. When you have a touch screen with no ballot generated, I'm not sure how you would do a recount. What we have is a ballot at the end of the day. We also do audits of the elections at the end of the general election cycle. We'll pick a certain number of towns, and we'll do a top-to-bottom audit of those towns. Plus, there are recounts that are being done. And when you look at our voter rolls and our vote tabulations, they're pretty accurate.
Let's go to Natalie calling in from Wheelock. Hi, Natalie. Go right ahead.
Hi. Just brief comment. I moved to Vermont 2 years ago. My first election experience was the presidential election. What really concerned me is when I went to vote, nobody asked me for my ID.
And you think you should be asked for your ID?
Oh, I've moved from a very large city, and you couldn't vote without having your ID.
Here in Vermont, the Vermont legislature has not taken a position, or actually they have taken a position, and there is no voter ID required. It's just voter ID, actually a lot of these states that now are starting to implement voter ID or photo ID are actually ending up in trouble with the courts. The courts have been recognizing that photo ID can be voter suppression method, because there are people who do not. It all comes down to, what is your voter ID? Are you broad enough, and does everybody have an equal opportunity to get one? In some states, like for instance Wyoming, they implemented photo ID and said they're going to issue them free from the motor vehicle departments, but then they went around and started cutting in the budget, cutting the motor vehicle departments, so people had to travel 100 to 200 miles in order to get one. And the courts said that wasn't fair, that wasn't right.
But so, you know, when I go to my voting place, the town clerk is there, and she says, oh, hi, Jane. Natalie was saying she was new. She may not know her town clerk.
Right.
You know, how do you make sure that people are voting appropriately, not taking somebody else's identity? I mean, when you talk about assurances that people should have that there is not widespread fraud, but then in Vermont we don't require an ID. How does Natalie know that, you know, that she's actually Natalie? How does her town know that?
That's the age-old question, I think, and I think it's unfortunate, but what happens is that people trust people. You also, when you fill out your voter registration or an absentee ballot affidavit, you are saying that I am who I say I am, and if I don't, it's under pains of penalties of perjury, and you can actually be jailed for up to 5 years or fined up to $15,000. So it's pretty significant
if you're caught,
and. You know, in this day and age, we have our system is much better. As I said, we have a brand new system in place. We can do audits of within our system of just the Vermont to see if people have voted more than once. So we can find out if Jane Lindholm voted in Moncton and in Vergennes. It's not illegal to be registered in more than one place. It's illegal to vote in more than one place.
We got a note from Rabia in Norwich who says, please don't send any voter information to Trump's commission, no matter what answers you get to your questions. Once the government has this information, you have no control over how it will actually be used. This is an anti-democratic action, and it opens the door to all kinds of abuse of innocent people or groups of people. And Noreen in Newark says, will you please let Vermonters know how we can remove all of our identifying information from Vermont's voter data before you send anything, including legally available data? Please make this process easily available. For the first time in my adult life, I'd rather be unregistered than to have any of my personal data shared with the current administration. Is that legal? Could people remove their information?
They would have to contact their town clerk to remove their name and identifying information. You cannot remove just the identifying information. You would have to just unregister. And then if you want to vote in the next election, you've got to re-register.
But if you unregister, you can have everything taken off because you're not a – so it
Correct.
Wouldn't be that you voted in the previous
Correct.
Elections. That wouldn't
but
be
– But I – you know, again, you have to go through your town clerk to do that. Here's the part of me that is concerned. If that happens – and we haven't seen that much of it here. So it's probably been maybe less than 10 people so far that we know of that we've heard – some states like Colorado has had a large influx because they've said that they're going to supply the public data or that they're going to comply with the request. And they've had a much bigger call to unregister. My only response to that is if you unregister, you're actually falling into the trap that this commission is designed to do, and that's to pull people off the voter rolls.
You believe that's the commission's goal?
The president has tweeted out, as well as the vice president and the vice chair of the committee, that this is about trying to find out if there was any voter fraud committed. I have in an email that I sent out, I said that if the commission is truly interested in election integrity, they ought to be looking at a dozen issues that are out there. For instance, the very top of my list is they should be looking at foreign interference. I've seen nothing about foreign interference in our election systems and the charge for this commission. They ought to look at the Election Assistance Commission, which is lacking in funding, lacking in designation of members, and they ought to push for that. That's the one organization, the one federal organization that can help the states with their election systems. They ought to look at providing a HAVA 2, what we call a HAVA 2, the Help America Vote Act, which provided money for every state back in 2002 to 2004, so that we could upgrade our systems. We're at that point again. We need to upgrade our systems, and technology has changed tremendously. And then there's a lot of other things: Election Day voter registration, automatic voter registration. Automatic voter registration keeps our files much more up to date because we get up to date information from the Department of Motor Vehicles as far as address changes and whatever.
Just across the Connecticut River in New Hampshire yesterday, Republican Governor Chris Sununu signed a bill that requires voters who move to New Hampshire within 30 days of an election to provide proof that they intend to stay. The AP report says that those who can't provide proof like driver's license or a lease will be allowed to vote, but if they don't follow up with elections officials, they could have authorities come to their homes to investigate. This follows a trend of increasing restrictions on voters for what kind of identification they have to provide. Sounds like Vermont's going in the opposite direction, if anything.
My concern there is, well, first of all, people, you know, even with photo ID, people say, well, you need a photo ID, just like I did this morning to get on the plane. But getting on a plane is not a constitutional right. Voting is a constitutional right. Every American should be allowed the opportunity, every eligible American should be allowed that opportunity to cast a ballot. The real voter fraud that we're seeing around the country is denying people, eligible Americans, from the right to vote. And that's a real concern. That's where we've seen increasing numbers of people being denied. And the actual widespread massive voter fraud is not occurring. Is there isolated incidents? Absolutely there are. And I would never deny that. But we're not seeing the massive quantities of it that people talk about. So I think it's incumbent upon us to be sincere about it, to actually recognize what we're trying to do, and remember that this is about your vote is your voice, and this is how you participate in our government.
Jim Condos is Vermont's Secretary of State. He's the top elected elections official. Thank you very much for talking with us.
You're welcome.